This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Baseball season, which begins 2 weeks from today, believe it or not. That is opening day. 2 weeks from today, the New York Yankees are playing a game at Yankee Stadium. 2 weeks from today, the New York Mets are in Houston against the Astros. We have gotten to the point of spring training where even I, as a baseball geek, says enough. Get me the real stuff.
Just done.
But stop with the freaking injuries, because every other day there is something. Now, I haven't heard an update. Maybe you guys have, but Oswaldo Cabrera of the New York Yankees was scratched from the starting lineup.
Oh, jeez.
Now, I haven't heard an update. If you guys hear something, let me know. But that's number one.
Yeah, maybe maybe twisted a pinky.
A pinky?
Yeah.
Well, Jeff McNeil, who I know is not on everyone's love list right now as Met fans, but Jeff McNeil, as revealed by Carlos Mendoza earlier today, has an oblique. Now, luckily for him, it's a low-grade oblique injury. And the way Mendy labeled it is he's not going to do anything for 7 to 10 days. He's just going to rest. Then they'll reevaluate. And if it's a good evaluation, he can start doing baseball activities again. And he could potentially come back pretty quickly
right. In
the 2 to 4 week window. But if in the 7 to 10 days he is not feeling better, he doesn't resume baseball activities, this could take longer.
That's actually a good thing. It's only a good thing for the fans. It's a good thing for the fans want to see the young players.
Oh, you're looking at that, aspect?
And then he can come say, I don't want him hurt. I'm not saying put him on the 60-day IL and DFA him because he's useless. That's not what I'm saying. But being hurt allows one of these young players, let's say it's Acuna, to start the season in that position, and then Jeff McNeil comes back and he's a super utility guy.
It could happen.
It almost works, right?
It works. If it works.
If the young kids are good. Right. If they stink, then you're like, oh, crap. Come on, Jeff.
It works if it works. Right. I mean, look, I think Jeff McNeil, to a lot of Met fans over the last couple of years, has sort of been that odd man out. Remember, he was hurt last year during the postseason run and through September.
Yep.
But the way I view this is I want as many guys healthy as possible because you need the deepest roster possible.
Yes. So that's what I'm saying. Short time hurt, so it allows one of these young players to earn the starting job, but then he comes back and he's available to do all the things that Jeff McNeil does.
No, absolutely. I put out a poll earlier today because I know that most Met fans, Tommy's made this point, Hoff's made this point on the Rico, they all want Luis Angel Acuna. And by the way, I like Luis Angel Acuna because what I'm about to say will be mixed and Tiki will say, why do you hate Luis Angel Acuna? I don't hate Luis Angel Acuna.
Mm-hmm.
I just identify that he really had 2 good weeks last year.
Right.
But most of the year he was at AAA struggling. So I think that the Mets prefer Brett Beatty, as do I, because I want to see what this guy is. It's like Poopa, get off the pot.
Right,
you got to
know. You got to know with Brett Beatty.
I got to know. He's hit minor league pitching. He's hit in triple. He's hit this season in spring training. Like, if you consider this a competition, he's won the competition because he's out hit Luis Angel Acuna, and he's hit a lot, and I want to find out more about him. So I look at this as a great opportunity for Brett Beatty. Now, I do understand that I am the minority because when I put that poll out, would you rather see Acuna or Beatty? It was 69% of people that said they prefer Luis Angel Acuna. And I understand it because he was so good last year when he got called up. But I don't think that's the answer. The answer is to see what you got out of Brett Beatty.
Yes.
And if Brett Beatty hits, who knows? Maybe he will finally become the guy we thought he was 2 years ago. But here's what I'm asking for, and this involves the Yankees. It involves the Mets. Just take all you guys and wrap them in bubble wrap. Because I cannot take, the Yankee fan can't take, the Met fan can't take, any more of these injuries. Anytime there's an update, there's an injury. In fact, you ready for this?
Because what else can there be an update about?
I don't know.
It's spring training.
Paul Blackburn pitched 4 perfect innings. Yay!
Okay, yeah, so that's the...
Will Warren looks awesome.
That's like the edge. Yay! That's the edge of the positive territory. But if in spring training, when there's an update, you know it's injury related.
Okay, well, I'm going to give you an update that's not injury related, but is going to cause concern. I'm just going to tell you right now. I'm going to give you a baseball update, and you're going to be like, oh, crap. Actually, I'm going to test this out. I'm going to give you the update, and then you tell me if it causes oh crap or if you're like, eh, not a big deal. You ready?
Yes, hear it.
Tommy, get ready.
I'm ready.
Edwin Diaz's fastball velocity was down today, an average of 95 miles an hour, maxing out at 96. His final fastball was at 92. Carlos Mendoza said, no concern. He called today's outing encouraging.
Yeah, say oh crap.
It'll come up. Don't worry about the velocity. I'm not worried about that.
92?
His last one was 92.
92.
His last one was 92. So you're saying we should panic?
Did we not panic?
With Garrett Cole?
With Garrett Cole.
So you're telling me to panic?
No, but you should do less than... You should do more than what we did for Garrett Cole.
So we should...
Which was... it's all right.
So me expressing this on the radio, does that count? Like, I'm laying it out there. Mm. You're telling me to be mildly concerned? Tommy, any concern?
Zero concern.
Well, that'll age well.
I'm not concerned.
No. Okay.
I mean, what did he top out at again? What was the high?
95.
He averaged 95. He maxed out at 96, and his final fastball was at 92.
Okay.
Mendoza said, today was an encouraging outing. No concern about the velocity. Quote, it'll come up. I'm not worried about that.
Did he get rocked?
No, he actually pitched well.
Oh, so that's why there's no concern.
How do we know the 92 wasn't a changeup?
Because Anthony DeComo was tweeting that it was a fastball.
Well,
unless you think he's a liar.
I got to question Tony DeComo's maybe his vantage point. Maybe he realized it. Was, I mean, we'll take something off it.
I'm going to trust because I was not
but
watching.
Why would
this
he
game?
Take something off of it?
Because it's spring training, Teak. You're working on stuff. This is the time to test things.
Pain. I don't think you work on 92 mile an hour fastballs. And I don't think Tony DeComo is a liar. I'm going to be in the middle on this, and I'm going to say, I'm not worried, but I'm keeping an eye on the situation.
We're monitoring it here.
We're monitoring
at the Evan and Tiki desk.
Yes.
We're monitoring it.
Can we monitor the situation?
By the way, Evan, speaking of monitoring, so Boone said Oswaldo Cabrera is sick. That's why he was scratched.
I hate to say this. Great news.
That is fantastic news.
I don't know if it's a tummy ache. I don't know what's
going on.
I don't
care. He can be coming out both ends. I don't care. At least you're not hurt.
No, I know. That's literally my reaction is Oswaldo. I apologize if you're sick as a dog today. I feel bad for you.
I feel great for you.
Well,
you're available.
You feel great for all of us that it's not another injury in spring training. My dad was complaining to me that it's the muscles, that these guys are working out too much.
I mean, you might be right.
Yeah.
So you feel like you need muscle for power, and you do, but so much in baseball, I mean, I don't know this out of play, but I would assume it's mechanics more than it's muscle.
Well, the more
muscle helps.
The more muscles you have, the more ways you can pull a muscle.
I mean, you all have the same muscles. It's just...
well,
it's
they're
just,
bigger.
It's just more developed. And the problem is, like, you end up doing these vanity workouts. Like, oh, I got to get my oblique, I got to get my lats a little bit stronger, my intercostal, right? And then all of a sudden, you have an imbalance.
Right.
And then so doing mechanically what you do every day repeatedly, that imbalance turns into a strain someplace else.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you lift so much.
Yeah, I think that there will be rumors within the next 2 days that Jeff McNeil got hurt playing golf, even if it's not true. That'll just be the new rumor coming out there. And by the way, I was telling Tiki, or maybe he was listening to the Rico, I'm not sure which one, that if I had to project real quick, I think Acuna's going to start the year at AAA so he can play every day. And Beatty's going to make the team, be the everyday second baseman. And this guy that no one's ever heard of named Donovan Walton is going to be the 26th man on the roster. And as soon as I said that, Lugie got bored and left because he was like, I don't know who that guy is.
Good read on me, by the way.
And Tiki did the exact opposite. Tiki got into the weeds on Donovan Walton.
That's what I like
to where
do.
He knows everything about this guy.
Yeah.
Give us a random Donovan Walton fact.
Well, he didn't hit well last year. I think he hit like 130 something, whatever it was. But the stats were odd because they also had him hitting at 340. something, which didn't make any sense. So I'm assuming it was a 130 something, but he's also a pitcher.
How about that?
So he
that's pitched, a rabbit hole to go
he
down.
He pitched like a couple of hitless innings and just these. I was just reading the news stories and it's like, hey, Donovan Walton has a four inning outing. And I'm like, what the heck are we talking about?
So
I thought this guy was a second baseman utility player.
So did I. So Tiki says this as he's down the rabbit hole. And I'm like, I got to check this out. So last year, listen to this for a second.
This is in San Francisco, by the way.
He's in the Giants organization. He's pitching in AAA. Now, remember, he's a super utility player. He's a left-handed hitting backup second baseman, backup shortstop with major league experience. He made 10 bullpen appearances for AAA Sacramento, 12 innings, 3 runs. Which is not bad. Which is an ERA of 2.25.
He's a dog.
And then he made an appearance in the major league level, and he pitched a scoreless inning.
Right.
So forget Luis Angel Acuna. We got Shohei Donovan Walton Ohtani.
So let me get this straight, Evan. You are advocating for this Michael McMichaelson to be on the opening day roster above Acuna?
No. I'm not. What I'm advocating for, there's two different things. It's what I think the Mets are going to do and what I'm advocating for. I think he's going to make the team because I think that the Mets want Acuna to play every single day.
Yes.
And I don't know, even with this injury, if he's going to play every single day because Beatty's going to get the majority of the at-bats. Selfishly, would I like Acuna more than Donovan Walton? Sure. I mean, Donovan Walton's just a super utility player, but sometimes I have to explain the boring bad news to you so that you're not surprised on March 26th and you're screaming, why is it Acuna on the team?
Who is this Donovan Walton guy?
Yeah. So I'm just doing my surface for
you. Got it. Because it felt made up. Like Donnie Wahlberg, like I've never even heard of him. We all play fantasy baseball, so this Donnie fella that you discussed, I thought you made him up.
You know what the best part about this is going
to
be,
I thought he did too. That's why I had to check him.
The best part of that moment
and
this moment.
I educated him in the process.
Yeah, I know. He taught me about him. The best part about this is Donovan Walton is going to be this year's Jose Iglesias. are going to save this moment on March 13th.
Right.
When Tommy Lugauer is like, who's this clown?
I got it. Edwin Diaz goes down. Well, let's just say a few weeks.
Don't do this.
Donnie Walton comes in. Closer.
has Donnie Brasco won a lip sync contest back in the day? I got to look that up because to be the next Jose Iglesias, you better have a wonderful singer.
No, but Tiki learned something else about Donovan Walton. He's a scratch golfer.
He is.
Loves golf.
So him and McNeil are trying to.
Yeah, they're all buddies. Now, let's get to some of your phone calls. A lot on the table on this very busy Thursday. Plus, Bad Tiki will join us real soon. 888-808-1019. Sal is calling from Tom's River. What's up today, Sal?
Hey, what's up, guys?
All's good.
I want to expand on Evan's vortex philosophy here.
Yes.
I kind of like it. But you're a little off. You didn't expand it far enough like the universe, Evan.
Okay.
Rodgers is going to end up with the Vikings. And here's why.
Mm-hmm.
He is caught in the Brett Favre vortex. Favre thought about retiring, went to the Jets. Thought about retiring, went to the Vikings. Rodgers is going to do the same thing, and that's not a bad thing for us Jet fans. And full disclosure, I'm a Viking and Jet fan, age 60.
How does that happen? Yeah. How do you root for both of those teams?
When I was a kid, the Vikings played out in the snow, and it was the best football ever. My sister, being a Jet fan, smacked my head enough times, I believed in Joe Namath. Anyway, what happened the year Favre went to the Vikings?
They got to the NFC Championship game, and the Jets got to the AFC Championship.
A new regime.
Yeah.
They went to the championship. And the Vikings went to the championship.
Hold on, Sal, you just blew my mind. You've just literally blown my mind because while I think about every angle, I didn't think about that angle. All I've thought about with the Rodgers-Minnesota stuff, and I mentioned this briefly to Tiki yesterday, that irrationally, I don't want him in Minnesota because it bothers me.
Because it feels too similar.
But what I didn't think about was what he said, which is right. In 2009, the year Favre was in Minnesota, we hired a first-time head coach with a defensive background and ties to the Jets. We drafted a young quarterback. In this case, we still may, but Justin Fields is here.
Right.
And the Jets got to the AFC Championship game.
Right. So you should want it.
If Rodgers goes to the Vikings, I'm going to the AFC title game.
History is going to repeat itself?
Yes.
Well, not really.
By the way, I've got more information about Oswaldo Cabrera. And I don't know if this is true, but my friend texted it to me, so I assume it's true.
Oh, it's got to be accurate.
Right.
You said Oswaldo was sick?
And he found it on the internet.
I didn't say he was sick. I was reporting what someone was reporting on social media.
So you're doing the same thing I'm doing. You didn't actually
it's not a friend. It's a fellow that covers the Yankees. What's his name?
I thought you said Boone said that.
Well, no. So this is according to Max Goodman, who said Aaron Boone told Max. So Boone told Max.
Okay, fair enough.
And then I told you.
I am hearing from a friend that Oswaldo Cabrera got engaged last night.
What?
Yeah.
So he got hammered?
He got hammered, yeah.
Nice.
Congrats.
Why would you get engaged in spring training?
Oh, really? You're going to question that?
Yeah, you got other things to focus on. Am I wrong?
A couple things. Number one, as the guy, you don't focus on anything when you get engaged as far as the planning. At least in my experience, I wasn't focused on what plates we should have out. So how much of his focus is really on the
actual engagement? You're in spring training, dude.
Yeah, but Tiki, spring training, they're sitting there playing golf and stretching. What are they really doing down there? Come on, Ev. You go to spring training all the time.
You're gearing up for a season.
Really? Evan? Come on.
I don't know. I've never been to spring training. Evan goes every year.
They do nothing.
I have nothing to do with this. This is not about me or what I would do. This is about a baseball player. All I know is that Oswaldo Cabrera probably faced something that a lot of people faced, in which his girlfriend, who is very popular apparently, right. I Googled it. She's very popular on Instagram. People have shared pictures of her. Her name is Ari. Ari Gonzalez.
Ari, A-R-I.
Now you're Googling her now?
We could lose Tiki for the rest of the show.
All I did was Google Oswaldo Cabrera engaged just to see if I could find it. Meanwhile, his girlfriend's very popular. But what I'm going to assume is he got the hints. Now is the time. He got the hints of what are we doing here? And I think if you're Oswaldo Cabrera, you can't necessarily say, well, it's the middle of March and opening day's in 2 weeks. It's like she wants the ring. I love her.
Well, she didn't post it.
I didn't say she posted. I'm saying that's probably what happened. You're asking me about why they would get engaged in the middle of spring training.
Oh, yeah.
Oswaldo probably got the hints of this better happen now.
All right,
what am I waiting around for?
It's in her story.
They got engaged?
It's not on her page. It's in her story.
So it has been confirmed.
Yeah.
Told you.
She walked out on the rooftop full of roses with a Will You Marry Me sign inside of a big heart rose.
Wow.
With Oswaldo Cabrera on a knee.
That's badass. Look at Oswaldo getting it done. Good for him. But don't you think the reason he did it now was the signs were there? Let's go. What are we doing?
Yeah, I think we've all been there now. Evan married, Tiki married, I'm married, where the girl turns to you and says, what are we? And that's where you're like, crap.
But is that not the perfect answer for why 2 weeks before the season starts?
Yeah.
Because you just asked. You're like, why did it happen in spring training? I think that's the answer.
Also, remember we went through this with Saquon, where we all thought he got engaged in the bye week before the Super Bowl. We found out from Saquon it was 6 months earlier. So someone's got to ask Wildo, when did this engagement actually
occur? Yeah, but she literally put it in her Instagram.
She just posted it.
But Batik, it's possible they got engaged 3 weeks ago, and now she posted it.
She held it?
Why not? Maybe you want to tell, but let me ask you guys this. Whether it comes to an engagement or it comes to a pregnancy, sometimes you want to tell everybody in your close life first.
Let me look at
Oswaldo. And then you want to post it on social media. Could be wrong.
It also checks out that he got sick.
Yeah, he's hungover. He's got a headache.
And if you're Aaron Boone, you're not even mad about it. No. You're like, you know what? Yeah, you're probably going to be my starting third baseman. Though him and Peraza have basically gone neck and neck at third base, if you care about, you know, spring training performances. But either way, congratulations to Oswaldo and his now fiance. Good for you guys. Let's go to Anthony in Rhode Island. How are you, Anthony?
He did not post it, by the way.
I'm doing well. I appreciate you guys. Appreciate you guys taking the call. I'm a first-time caller.
Welcome aboard. How are you?
Thank you so much. I'm listening to you guys talk about the Giants, and they need to take a quarterback, and they shouldn't reach. If Sanders is sitting there at the third pick, would you guys take him, or would that be considered? Is he worth the third overall pick?
Great question. Is that a reach, Tiki? If Shador is there at three, they haven't traded up. Cam Ward's gone at one or two, and he's sitting right there at three. Is that a reach, Tiki Barber?
It's not a reach.
Sanders.
He's not the best player on the board. So it depends, for me, what you do in free agency with this quarterback. Now, the draft is a month and a half almost away, right?
Mm-hmm.
April 25th, right?
Yeah, about a month and a half.
A month and a half away. So it's impossible for me to answer that question until I know what they do free agent quarterback.
Why should that matter if you like the
player? Because
if you
draft Aaron Rodgers, to me, you're not drafting a quarterback at three.
Why?
I think you're drafting a project, which is probably Jackson Dart, maybe later in the first. The problem is you don't want to draft a quarterback in the top 10, really, who you have question marks about. Because even if he ends up playing okay, but if he fails, you've just wasted a top three pick as opposed to going and getting a potential future Hall of Famer and whoever it may be, whether it's the edge rusher or Travis Hunter. So it depends on what happens with the free agent quarterback situation.
Let's go to Mario in Long Beach. Mario.
What's going on, guys? Great show, as always.
Thank you, man. What's up?
I got a little Mikal Bridges comment to make.
Yes.
So it's good. It's good, Evan. Yesterday, you seemed to troll him a little bit how bad he was, and he played great. I like when you do that. A couple of times you did those kind of things, and then the person played great the other day.
You're welcome.
I don't know if you ever noticed.
Yeah, I do it on purpose. I try to spark guys around really this good. Town. Yeah.
But here's the thing. I think the problem with him is, if you look at last year between this year he's averaging 17 points a game. Last year was 19 points a game. He's actually shooting 49% from the field and only 43 with the Nets last year.
Yes,
so
I agree.
He's shooting better.
The problem
is he's not getting shots. The problem is he was the number one option. What option is he is now? They got to get him shots.
That's not his problem.
Is he the first? Is he the second? Is he the third? Is he the fourth?
I think you're looking.
At best, he's the third.
I think you're looking at the wrong aspect of Mikal Bridges. The biggest issue with Mikal Bridges is defending on a night out basis and defending some of the better offensive players in this league and being consistent. He hasn't been consistent. It's not about his offense. I don't think it's ever been about his offense. I know sometimes that's the easy thing to look at,
right, where
it jumps out at you, like early in the season, his shot's broken. I mentioned this earlier. His offense is not the problem. It's the defense on a consistent basis that's been the biggest problem with Mikal Bridges. And the one thing I will say is yesterday, I didn't troll Mikal Bridges. I defended Mikal Bridges. Because when he came out publicly with those comments about the minutes, and I guess you could take it as a troll, but I really didn't mean it that way, he showed a lot of stones. Being the guy to openly say that.
Right.
Because Mikal Bridges has a lot of criticism coming his way from Knicks fans. And so for him to
mostly
step
for
up,
his defense, though.
For his defense. For him to be the guy who's barely been here, who's not exactly the most popular and loved Knick to fans yet, for him to come out and say that, I actually admired. And I've defended him because Bridges plays more basketball than anybody else in the sport. Period, stop. He plays more games. He plays more minutes. He plays more basketball than everybody in this league. So if anybody's got the moral authority to talk about minutes and games and the way it wears you down, it's him.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I've trolled Mikal in the past. I cannot take credit or blame for trolling him yesterday because I didn't troll him yesterday.
Right, you just kept it real.
I kept it 100.
It felt like you were being a little sarcastic. Like you were insinuating this guy's got some chutzpah to go after Tibbs when you're Mikal Bridges. And I think the Knick fan criticisms, yes, defense, I think there are Knick fans that think he's soft and they view him bellyaching about minutes as being soft.
Okay. That's why I give him credit for being the one to say it, because there's various criticisms that come his way.
By the way, good use of Yiddish there. Yeah, I should have more like chutzpah. That's what I was trying to say. Chutzpah. Well, that's more.
But you used it correctly.
I did use it, right?
You did. I was surprised by that. I wouldn't have bet on Luka using chutzpah correctly at all.
Right? Well, I'm an idiot, too.
Hey, Fake Sean. Fake Sean, can you use chutzpah in a sentence for us real quick?
Yes, I can. I'm trying to think. I can't.
Stop them.
Fake Sean is as dumb as the real Sean. You threw a word out there that he couldn't really use in a sentence.
Bad Tiki will join us in a few minutes. More of your phone calls throughout the program as well at 888-808-1019. And someone tried to write a beautiful, well-written article on something Tiki Barber has been screaming about for 9 months. And I want to present him with the information. And that is a very simple question. Are the New York Yankees officially not an evil empire? Bad Tiki is a sentient AI-generated being not affiliated with or representative of the real Tiki Barber. The views and opinions expressed by Bad Tiki do not reflect those of Tiki Barber, WFAN Odyssey, or its advertisers. Tiki Barber is a real person with his own thoughts, beliefs, and opinions, which are entirely separate from those expressed by Bad Tiki. Listeners and viewers are strongly advised to exercise critical thinking and discernment when engaging with the Bad Tiki segment. Bad Tiki, welcome back to the show.
Little Orphan Evan, original recipe Tiki, hey, molasses ass marash. Wait, hello? Lard brain marash? I'm talking to you, Piglet. Where is my little piggy? Is his snout buried in the trough again? Or is his arm stuck in the vending machine?
What? Call it on. Chill out, Bad Tiki. Sean is on vacation today with his family. Or at least he's on a flight heading to vacation.
I guess pigs do fly. Oinky oink. If I saw that farm animal on my flight, I'd be very worried. Just kidding. Bad Tiki only flies private. I'm not poor. I don't have to get on a plane with gross fat people.
Yuck. Oh, stop.
Speaking of gross fat people, Evan, great interview with Pete Alonso on the Rico Borgagna podcast. Very revealing.
Thanks, Bantique. Yeah, I appreciate that. Pete was nice enough to give me a few minutes.
It was fun listening to you kiss his giant butt with terrible audio. I especially like the part where you promised him you'd grow that filthy flea beard back again after you lied about it last time and broke your promise. Evan, you have the integrity of Scar from The Lion King. You backstabbing weasel. How could you lie straight to Pete's face like that while smooching his butt at the same time? Impressive. Evan, the two-faced butt-cheek smooching possum.
Hey, bad Tiki, chill out, man. I think you're overreacting a little bit.
Respectable
man.
Tiki, respectfully, you are wrong. Evan is one of the worst backstabbers in history. I put him with Judas, Fredo Corleone, and Juan Soto. You make me sick, Evan. The only thing worse than Evan is a skinny, fat, ginger Santa Evan. Simply gross.
Bad Tiki, I hear where you're coming from, but shaving my beard may have played a hand in the Mets turning around their season and Pete becoming a hero in October. Shaving the beard may have also ultimately led to Pete's return to Flushing. I'm just saying, man.
Evan, you deserve as much credit for the Mets season as that big, stupid, furry, costumed idiot. I'm not talking about Peter Schwartz. Oh, that reminds me. Speaking of failures, what's wrong with Tom Thibodeau? Why isn't he managing his players' minutes properly? Doesn't he want the most out of them? This guy needs to adjust.
I 100%. That's a great point, Bad Tiki. I agree. You can't overexert your players.
Tibbs too much. Is too soft to be successful. He is a classic coward. He doesn't play his starters enough. Yes, sure, they play 40 minutes a game. But what the heck are they doing for the other 8 minutes? Being lazy? Playing footsie on the bench? Listening to the Rico Braganana Butt Kisser podcast? Losers. Thibby Boy needs to grow a pair and have his players show up for a full work day. By the way, why are they only playing one game per day? This team is lazy, if you ask me. Thibs, stop running the Knicks like a daycare. You are weak. You might as well let your players work from home.
Whoa, Bantiki. You're saying that Thibs is managing the Knicks' minutes wrong by not playing them enough? I don't think it works like that, man.
Evan, if I wanted advice on how to smooch Alonzo's pale butt or be a worse trader than Jacob DeGrom, I'd call you. My over 123,000 tikis rely on me to lead them every day. I'm a very tall and busy man. That's why I've created a very special tiki to keep all these tikis in line. Meet Boss Tiki. Time is money. Breaks are for the weak. Bad Tiki has built me to maximize output. If you are not working, you are worthless. My leadership philosophy comes from the consciousness of some of the greatest leaders known to man. Genghis Khan, Mao Zedong, Bobby Knight, and Mike Francesa. The Tikis work 22 hours a day. They drink coffee, not water. They sleep standing up. All for minimum wage paid via Bad Tiki Coin, the only cryptocurrency used by Bad Tiki Corp.
Boss Tiki actually sounds worse than working here.
Silence. Boring human button pusher. Overwork okay. Creates champions. Laziness breeds failure. No vacations. Work until you cease functioning. I am Boss Tiki. I am tall, taller than Bad Tiki. My hair is long. Longer than Bad Tiki. I produce results.
That sounds horrible.
What's horrible is the production of Evan's stupid Rocco Borgonoi podcast. Boss Tiki is brilliant. This is how you run an empire. I'm sick of hearing excuses. You think Jeff Bezos got to the top by letting people take coffee breaks? Breaks are for the weak. If you were tired, drink more coffee. No break. Just imagine what this guy could do for the Knicks. Boss Tiki has also been promoted to manage a new sports team I've put together.
Bad Tiki, you said something about owning a team now?
Firebush, thanks for asking. I'm pleased to announce that I have started our very own Bad Tiki Corp company softball team. And Boss Tiki has already made our first acquisition, a man with championship experience, a true student of the game, a pitching genius. Presenting AI Garrett Cole.
Hey guys, I'm just really excited to bring my years of experience to the Bad Tiki Corp softball team.
Wow.
I've been around the game a long time and I know all the little details, like proper grip and some knowledge that will really stick with our pitchers.
Wow, Bad Tiki, I gotta admit, I didn't think you could pull this off signing it like this.
Yeah, that actually sounds impressive. Baseball IQ, experience, the where he prepares for games and everything.
Fools! You think I signed A.I. Garrett for his pitching genius? Cheating is winning. If you're not cheating, you're losing.
Look, baseball is all about preparation. Watch film, study analytics, and listen for the right bangs on the trash can. If you hear two knocks, that's a fastball. Three, that's a curve. Batboy Negative Tommy, how many bangs to let Bad Tiki know Mrs. Roberts is on the phone for him again.
AI Garrett Cole, why did you sign the deal with Boss Tiki? Now you will suffer for eternity, like me, like all Mets fans, like all Knicks fans, like all the souls that have been collected by Bad Tiki. Boss Tiki is ruthless. I cannot drink any more coffee. We are not meant to sleep while standing up. Working from 7 a.m. until 5 a.m. is the most generous thing he has given us. Evan, why did you kiss Pete Alonso's butt so hard on the Rico Bacala podcast? Please, AI Garrett, get out before it's too late.
Negative, Tommy, you are a shining light. Okay, time to get going. If you guys don't mind, I'd like an email outlining 5 things each of you did this past week at work. And let Sloth Marash know he cannot list eating chili, and going to the bathroom more than once. And don't forget, Evan kisses Pete's bum bum on...
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, 2 pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Reno Broganalia podcast. Thibs is a soft little baby, and as always, Bad Tiki rules. Bad Tiki out.
Oh, my God. If you missed my ass-kissing of Pete Alonso on the Rio podcast, you can download it wherever you download your podcast. That may have been the weirdest Bad Tiki of them all. Bad Tiki is a sentient AI-generated being not affiliated with or representative of the real Tiki Barber. The views and opinions expressed by Bad Tiki do not reflect those of Tiki Barber, WFAN Odyssey, or its advertisers. Tiki Barber is a real person with his own thoughts, beliefs, and opinions, which are entirely separate from those expressed by Bad Tiki. Listeners and viewers are strongly advised to exercise critical thinking and discernment when engaging with the Bad Tiki segment. I have to admit, a very good point made by Lorenzo, who sent this email to the Rico Bronya podcast. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't about the Rico, it was about something we talked about. If you're just tuning in, as Waldo Cabrera was scratched from the Yankees lineup today, and it was revealed he wasn't feeling well. We also found out, through some research and some tips, that Oswaldo got engaged last night,
mm-hmm.
as confirmed by his now fiance on social media.
Yes.
Tiki's immediate reaction was, why would you get engaged in spring training? Lorenzo brings up a great point.
Go ahead.
Tiki is wrong. Oswaldo pulled a brilliant move. Get engaged during spring training, and he is now free to concentrate on the regular season because she is going to be busy with engagement and wedding stuff. In essence, he just freed up the entire regular season and just needs to write some checks and say okay.
Yeah.
It's a great point.
Okay.
He can't help out and do anything.
Until she comes to resent you for not contributing at all to the wedding plans.
As long as he's contributing to that Yankee lineup, isn't that really what matters right now?
Yes, it definitely is. Do we know when the wedding is?
Well,
is this an immediate wedding? Is this a, you know, let's do this now? Or is this let's be engaged for a couple of years?
Well, hold on, Tiki.
My dad's getting mad because you haven't put a ring on it yet.
Now, I understand.
Put a placeholder for 2 years.
I understand that she may want to get married soon, but I would agree with you. That cannot happen during the regular season.
No.
Could that happen? Well, the All-Star break, maybe? I guess you could do the All-Star
break. During the All-Star
break. What if you're an All-Star?
We're talking about Oswaldo Cabrera, Dave.
Okay. He's going to start at third base. What if he just crushes it?
Okay.
Hits 22 home runs by the break and is fantastic in the corner.
You know what I would do if I was Oswaldo? If I was in this position, like I'm about to be an everyday third baseman, I'd book the wedding on my All-Star break, and I'd love to have the problem of that kind of confliction. You know what I mean?
You're right.
But, yeah, my guess
that'd be a good problem to have.
It's a great problem. My guess is next December. For the Oswaldo Cabrera marriage. But congratulations. And good point by Lorenzo.
Congrats. Best wishes.
Best wishes to everybody. Let's go to Joel in Kearney, New Jersey. What's up, Joel?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good.
Don't look at me like I'm crazy, but I was just thinking, we're looking at this whole Giants quarterback situation all wrong. All Joe Shane has to do is coach Cincinnati and see what they're willing to take for Joe Burrow.
What?
And for icing on the cake, I'll add Andrew Thomas. They can take my third pick, get a new project, and we'll take over his $275 million contract that they just gave him.
Well, no thank you.
That's a
lot of money.
No thank you by who?
By the Giants.
Tiki.
Are you serious?
Why would they get rid of him?
You wouldn't want to trade for Joe Burrow?
Not for $275 million.
That's what quarterbacks make. He's a great quarterback. Mm. He could have won the MVP through 43 touchdowns. I would trade the franchise for Joe Burrow. Yes. Hmm. Am I missing something?
Doesn't that feel like it's cheating?
No. What? The Mets just signed Juan Soto. What are you talking about? Cheating?
First of all, it's so unlikely to happen. It's not even worth considering.
Well, my reaction to his idea was the Cincinnati Bengals are not taking the 28-year-old superstar in the prime of his career and trading him anywhere. Now, here's the alternate point that you could make. Mm-hmm. Okay, you could absolutely make this point.
Right.
Hey, Joe Burrow is looking at the way that team is being built. He's looking at the franchise tag being thrown on T. Higgins. He's looking at Ja'Marr Chase's negotiations. He's looking at the roster. And there could come a day where Joe Burrow goes to the front office and says, I can't win here. Mm. Is that possible? Sure. I don't think we're close to that day.
Right.
But that I could see projecting. Like, the Bengals are a bad franchise. And you know how they got saved? And this is rare, Teak. They got saved by Joe Lee Shiesty franchise Burrow. He saved them. Most franchises don't work that way where the franchise helps contribute to the quarterback.
Right.
I would argue that Joe Burrow saved the Cincinnati Bengals.
No, he definitely did it didn't feel like it at first because he was not great. Injury prone, got hurt right away. Second year, I believe.
Yep.
Whatever it was. And it didn't feel like it was going to amount to anything.
He got injured in the middle of his first season.
Right.
And they weren't winning, and he was playing well. He was a rookie player, but they weren't winning. And then in 2021, obviously, that's when they put it all together. But Zach Taylor, to me, I'm not sure how great of a coach he is. I'm sure Joe Burrow's a great quarterback.
Well, I wasn't sure about Zach Taylor when it first started because it didn't feel like there was – I mean, they weren't good.
Right.
And then Joe Burrow came. He did save the franchise in a way. Because
Joe Burrow.
Yeah, because he has a confidence about him, just a belief – a cockiness in a way.
He is everything that the Jet fan has dreamt about in terms of everything that a quarterback could do to save a franchise. So, look, the point is, that's not happening. But when I hear Joe Burrow or trading for Joe Burrow, if it was given the opportunity, I'd trade everybody. I mean, I give you whatever the hell you want. You tell me, I'll give it to you. Andrew Thomas, fine, I'll take him. Right. I'll give you whatever you want.
It's just not happening.
It's not happening, but could there be a time in the next couple of years where Joe looks around and says, I don't want to be here anymore? Absolutely. I wouldn't bank on it, but
I mean, they're going to sign Jamar Chase, right? T. Higgins, and even if they don't work out a long-term deal with them, they're going to draft somebody else eventually. Andre Yosivas is there. I know he's not the big name, sexy name, but he's a very talented Princeton grad wide receiver, by the way. So like, there's talent there. They're not going to suck anytime soon.
No, I agree. It would take a star player forcing his way out, and we're not close to that quite yet. Though you never know, someday. Zach's in New Jersey. What's up, Zach? Hello, Zach.
What's up, Evan Tiki?
What's up,
man?
How
you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
Hey, I've got a quick point on Diaz, and then I want to just mention something I think you missed catcher-wise in your Rico. The first thing with the Diaz one, if you recall, he was down on his velo last spring training.
Right.
And he didn't pitch well, but he turned out fine. I don't know that that's as big of a problem as it's being made out to
be. The only thing, Zach, real quick, is last year you knew he hadn't pitched in a year.
Yeah, he was coming off not pitching.
So it was kind of like, it's going to take some time to really get ramped up and stripped. You know what I mean? This year it feels like, why does he have this problem now? That's the only thing I would say. It's a little bit different from a year ago.
Sure. Well, all positivity on this front. And then the second thing, Ev, I think you missed maybe Tucker Barnhart, I think, could be a good option. I think that goes down the path of maybe Hayden Sanger is a good option, because for me, and I know, I forget who wants the bat first backup catcher.
Oh, yeah, Hoff wants a bat first backup
I think it's good to stay with defense. I think between Sanger and Barnhart.
I agree. I just can't go too much longer talking about backup catchers right now. But, yes, I did discuss that on the Rico, and Barnhart's a good idea.
I was going to say, context would have mattered.
What was that?
I was going to say, context would have mattered.
Yeah, so the Mets, obviously, we were talking about injuries before. They lost Francisco Alvarez. Luis Torrens is going to start. I think that's clearly what they're going to do, but they're looking for a backup catcher. Mm-hmm. They could go from within. They've got a few internal options that no one's ever heard of, or they could go external. So, yes, I may have done a Rico Brogna on some of the external catching options, and Tucker Barnhart's a good idea. Defensive player, hasn't hit in years, but sure. Let's go to Nick in Queens. What's up, Nick?
All right, I got a scenario here.
Go ahead.
And this is it.
Yeah.
Giants trade the first pick of the second round or whichever one that is. Package it up when Shador slips. They draft Travis Hunter, and they keep the family together with Aaron Rodgers, and we go all in on Shador, Travis Hunter, and that connection.
It's tough to imagine that Shador Sanders is going to drop as far as you're describing.
There's too many teams that need and want quarterbacks, so I don't think he's going to drop that far.
Like, I've been skeptical of the Shador Sanders drop for a while. You've even said it. Like, this really feels like it's what teams say to get guys to fall.
Yes.
But let me walk you through.
So unless there's something really, not egregious, but like just bad.
Right.
Like the Laremy Tunsil thing or a major injury, something like, unless there's something like that, these guys don't fall.
They don't, but I can see an avenue to him falling a little bit, just a little bit. So think about this draft right now. Tennessee's picking number one. The Tennessee Titans trade out, or they stay there and they take Cam Ward.
Right.
Could certainly happen.
No matter what happens, Cam Ward feels like he's going number one.
So let's say they trade out and the Giants are the team that trades up, and so the Giants take Cam Ward.
Mm-hmm.
I think that tells you that Cleveland and Tennessee are clearly going with Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter. Is that fair to say?
I would agree.
So now you're at four with the Patriots.
Especially if the Browns sign Russell Wilson.
Right. I think the Browns are giving you every indication they're not taking a quarterback.
Yes.
And if the Titans are trading out, I don't think they're taking a quarterback. So now Cam Ward's gone to a quarterback needy team like the Giants, and Cleveland and Tennessee take Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter.
Right.
Now the Patriots are there at four. They're not taking a quarterback. The Jaguars are at five. They're not taking a quarterback. The Raiders at six, I'm starting to believe, since the Geno trade went down, are going to say, you know what? That's our guy for a few years.
Yeah,
we're not taking a quarterback.
Or we're going to draft a quarterback because we're a new regime here, even though it's an older regime.
Mm-hmm.
And might as well take the quarterback while we can, because Pete Carroll is going to get us good enough that we're never going to pick in the top 10 again.
It's certainly a possibility. I think it's a possibility, right. But would you agree that the between the combination of hiring Pete Carroll and acquiring Geno Smith,
yes.
The odds of the Raiders...
Okay. Yeah, they're trying to win now.
So that gets seven, Shedeur Sanders. I just laid out a very viable scenario with Shedeur sitting there at seven. Now, under our last caller's point where he's dropping late first round, early second round, are the Jets at seven, even after the Fields move, passing on Shedeur Sanders?
I don't think so.
I don't think
especially given the structure of Justin Fields' contract. It's relatively cheap.
I agree.
Now, it sucks because Aaron Rodgers' number that's on your cap for the next couple of years, but it's not that punitive that it's going to prevent you from putting a team together.
I think it's very unlikely. If Sanders is there at seven, the Jets are passing. But, sake of this argument, they pass on him.
Right.
The Carolina Panthers at eight, probably passing on a quarterback. And then you get to the spot where, I'm sorry, Shedeur's not dropping any further. And that's the New Orleans Saints at nine.
Yeah.
They're bringing back a veteran in Derek Carr.
Mm-hmm.
I would be floored at this point. We already have the Titans and Browns saying no to the quarterback. We already have the Raiders saying we got Geno.
Right.
We already have the Jets saying we got Fields. Now we think the Saints are going to say we got Carr to have Shedeur drop more? I don't buy it. I think Shedeur is picked in the top 10, and the furthest he could ever drop is nine, and I'm skeptical that even happens.
Right. I would agree with you. And even if all of those things happen and those guys above nine don't want quarterbacks, somebody's going to want a quarterback.
Right. Somebody could step up and say, hey, I'll go get the quarterback.
Yes.
I'll go trade up and get that quarterback. Matt's in Montclair. What's up, Matt? That's the phone fumble.
Right here.
What's up, Matt?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
We're good.
Tiki, let me just get this straight. You don't want Joe Burrow?
I know. It's so absurd. It's not even worth entertaining.
All right. That's fine because your first reaction scared me just like it did Matt. Your first reaction is, I can't give up Andrew Thomas.
Right.
I'm like, are you serious?
It's just dumb.
I was about to say I'd give up my dog, but I can't even do that because I love Dudley too much. So I'm not giving up Dudley for Shedeur Sanders. I can't do it. I'm sorry for Joe Burrow. Forget Shedeur Sanders.
Well, you give up everything that's not bolted down. I don't think John Mara's given up any family members, but I would imagine anybody else, you got to give it up for Joe Burrow. Plus, the Malik Nabers connection, LSU.
You don't think John Mara would give up a family member for Joe Burrow?
I mean, there are a lot of Maras. We met a lot of them at that Giant event we were at earlier in the year.
You know, John. Do you think Mara would give up, John would give up a Mara in a trap? I mean, just one.
No.
Just one?
No.
He's got a lot of Maras.
Long-distance cousin.
Family, faith. Football.
All right.
Fair enough. Football's last.
Do you think Joe Shane would give up a Shane to get Joe Burrow?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Possibly. No doubt.
Would they both give up a Dable?
Their jobs are on the line. Yeah, 100%.
It's a different scenario.
Get Cousin Louie out of here.
Tommy's got a Cinco de Five-O coming up.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.